Welcome, everyone, to another deep dive. You know, have you ever really stopped to think about what makes a holiday celebration? Well, what makes it truly unique? What gives it that specific flavor of a city? Because today we're diving into something pretty special, Miami's 4th of July, the one in 2025. And let me tell you, this wasn't just your standard barbecue and fireworks. It really had that distinct Miami character.
Yeah, and we're pulling our insights today from a really great piece on MiamiNews.com. It's called Miami's 4th. A cultural celebration of freedom. The chief editor, Wilson Alvarez, curated it. We've really tried to pull out the most vibrant details from this view from the 305. That's the area code, right? Gives you that real local feel.
Exactly. And our goal here really is to unpack how Miami managed to take a national holiday, something everyone celebrates, and turn it into something, well, more, something deeply personal for its communities, incredibly important for the economy, and just culturally rich. It's about freedom, sure, but freedom with layers. It goes way beyond just the fireworks. Right. And we've got some pretty surprising facts coming up. Things that make you go, aha, like the sheer scale of the economic impact and some genuinely moving community moments. Okay, let's unpack this. You might be surprised by just how much Miami brings to the party.
Definitely. So how did Miami give this holiday such a unique spin? From the parties to the economics to those personal stories.
Well, it kicked off Friday, July 4th, 2025. People got that long weekend, right? America's 249th birthday. But it wasn't just red, white, and blue everywhere, was it? What really made Miami's take stand out?
No, not at all. That's what's so interesting. Miami just weaves it all together, doesn't it?
Okay.
You have the Latin rhythms, that Caribbean feel, the whole waterfront magic. Of course, the American flag was there prominent.
Yeah.
But you also saw like pastel flags, beach umbrellas everywhere, and the fireworks over Biscayne Bay. The soundtrack was definitely more than just, you know, the usual patriotic tunes. It was a real fusion.
A fusion, yeah. And it sounds like the city really went all out with events, big public ones, but also smaller, more specific cultural gatherings. What did that look like on the ground?
Oh, it was incredibly varied. You had Bayfront Park, which hosted this huge free fireworks show, biggest in South Florida, apparently, over 60,000 people, live music, food trucks, the whole big public spectacle.
Wow, 60,000.
Yeah. But then you jump over to Wynwood, and it's a totally different vibe with their Star Spangled Block Party. The graffiti art, craft beer, DJs mixing, like reggaeton and country music.
Okay.
And the Wharf Miami, they did this all-day boat thing, a nautical parade, champagne, very Miami. Plus, you know, all the private parties lighting up the skyline.
Cool.
Rooftop bars like the Gabriel, East Miami, sold out way in advance.
Yeah.
You even had some big names drawn in, like Joel Pimentel from CNCO, and the UFC fighter Jorge Masvidal was spotted too. It really shows the city's broad appeal.
That's quite a mix, an incredible mosaic, really. Now, thinking beyond the parties, the fun, was there a big economic story here too? What kind of impact did all this have?
Oh, absolutely. This freedom effect, as the source called it, was serious business. The Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau, they estimated something like $155 million in total spending citywide.
$155 million. Wow.
Huge. Hotels downtown and in Brickell, they hit 97% occupancy. 97%. Restaurants, bars. They saw revenues jump about 28% compared to the year before. Even things like ride shares, short-term rentals rates apparently spiked like two or three times what's normal. Miami's position, you know, as this global city, but also a cultural hub, it made the number one spot in the U.S. for July 4th travel, beat out L.A., Orlando, the big ones.
Okay, those numbers are definitely compelling. Miami clearly knows how to draw a crowd. But, you know, sometimes with that kind of massive economic focus, a holiday can start to feel a bit commercial. Did the source talk about how Miami managed that balance, keeping the economic engine running, but also holding on to the deeper meaning, especially through those community moments?
That's a really important question. And yes, while the money was flowing, what seemed to set Miami apart were these moments that really tapped into the city's soul. They wove together all these different stories of freedom. For instance, local heroes were right there, front and center. Veterans from the Miami VA led the parade at Tropical Park, got a huge standing ovation, apparently.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. And the Little Haiti Cultural Complex, they did a special showcase. It honored both American and Haitian freedom histories, linking them together. Very powerful.
Connecting those narratives.
Exactly. Then in Opa-locka, they had a gospel explosion, like 20 church choirs singing under the stars, fireworks, prayer. a really spiritual element. There's even public art. Gabby Guzman, a local artist, painted this massive 40-foot mural called Liberty and Legacy down at the Wynwood Marketplace.
Wow.
But maybe the most moving part, it happened at Lion Depot Park. During the anthem, they actually reunited a military family on the field, service member who had been deployed for a year. The whole crowd was apparently in tears.
Oh, wow. That must have been incredibly emotional. It really underscores that Miami doesn't just like mark Independence Day on the calendar. It expresses it, right, in its own language. Wow. You said it's Spanglish, the drums, the smell of barbecue and ocean air. Yeah. And for so many people, they're Cuban exiles, Venezuelan immigrants, Nicaraguan families. Freedom isn't just some abstract idea.
No, it's intensely personal. It's lived experience.
So how does linking their own histories, their own struggles and triumphs with American freedom change the holiday for them? How does it deepen it?
Well, I think that's the core insight here. You know, lots of cities have fireworks, but Miami seems to use its fireworks to tell stories.
Mm.
They become narratives, right? About survival, about finding family, about starting over. It stops being just a holiday and becomes this living pulse of the city itself. It's this vibrant reminder that, you know, the pursuit of happiness, it really does come in all sorts of languages and rhythms and even cuisines.
That visitor from Michigan really nailed it, didn't they? I came here for the fireworks, but stayed for the soul. Miami tells stories with its fireworks, stories of survival, family, new beginnings. So what does this all mean for you listening in?
Well, wrapping this up, this deep dive really shows a few key things, doesn't it? You have these incredibly vibrant celebrations from the huge Bayfront Park show to the cultural happenings in Wynwood. That energy directly fueled the economy. The $155 million, the packed hotels, Miami being number one for travel. But just as important, maybe more so, are those really heartfelt community moments. That military family reunion, the Little Haiti showcase. It all points back to this idea that freedom, for so many people, is deeply personal. It's not just a word.
Absolutely. It's lived.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if happiness and freedom really do express themselves in so many different ways, languages, music, food, you know, like Miami shows us so clearly, maybe the final thought is, how could that perspective change how we think about our own celebrations, our personal ones, our community ones? How do we understand freedom?
That's a great question to leave folks with. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into Miami's really unique take on the 4th of July. We hope it gets you thinking about the different ways important cultural moments are expressed right there in your own communities.